Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hey there, it's time for another episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. I'm Kim Stewart.
And I'm Hazel Fruitman.
And today's topic is, how much does it really cost to market a successful podcast? So, you're going to do it. You're going to pull the trigger and produce a podcast. Could you be the next Ira Glass or Joe Rogan? Or maybe just a Pat Flynn or even a Kai Ryssdal? In any case, how much do you think it takes to market a successful podcast? We're going to spend the next 12 to 15 minutes giving you the lowdown on what, where, and how you need to allocate resources such as funds and time in order to successfully market your podcast. Now, before we get into the meat of this week's episode, Hazel is going to give you the lowdown on mobile wallet marketing and advertising, how it works for you in the context of podcasts. If you've heard it before, feel free to skip ahead to 2 minutes from now. Otherwise, listen up.
So you're asking yourself what mobile wallet marketing is. Well, it's direct access to your consumer or user, client, listener, and it's a marketing and communication tool for customers using their mobile phones. So these are mobile ads that have a pass that are displayed with a mobile update right on the lock screen. So these passes can be used for a variety of ways, for podcasts. They're good to use for subscriptions to increase your listener base. You can run other campaigns with it. You can have a digital business card with it, a gift card, a store card. You can use it as an event ticket.
So if you've got sponsors, Hazel, can you use this to help bring a value add to your sponsors?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So these passes have a front and a back. And on the front of the pass, you put who you are, your headline, who you are, your title of your company, even your logo. And on the back of the pass, you can put different links to where you want your user to be. For example, if you have a podcast, you're going to want them to go to iTunes or Spreaker or Stitcher, wherever they are, wherever your listeners are listening. You can use it as Kim has mentioned, if you're a sponsor of a podcast, you can use it to put your URL right on the back of a pass, and it goes right to the sponsor's website.
So you can use this to launch apps, you can use it to launch video marketing, is that the case?
Absolutely you can. Whatever marketing channel you have out there, it can be combined into our pass.
Super. Let's move on to the meat of this week's episode in that case. So, lots of podcasts out there today. They cover almost any topic. I think the last number of actual podcasts available in iTunes that I saw was 325,000. And to make that into a more realistic statistic, of the 325,000, only about 60,000 of them are regularly updated. So you're not actually competing on an update level with 325,000 podcasts. You're only competing with 60,000. Yeah. So, you know, and it's business, humor, sports, how-to, adult topics, storytelling, business topics, you name it, there is a match for almost anybody who is looking for a podcast and wants to listen to a podcast.
And that's right. So what do you mean by marketing your podcast? Well, you mean iTunes doesn't take care of that for you. All iTunes does is list you on iTunes.
Same thing with Spreaker, same thing with Stitcher, TuneIn, Google, every single one of them. All you get is a basic listing and it's not even a delivery platform because they're using your server and your audio files to deliver your podcast. They're just sort of like a Yellow Pages in the cloud or whatever you want to call it that's supposed to help you find more new listeners.
Right. And, you know, if you want to go back to one of our earlier podcasts, I believe it's episode 10, Marketing Podcast with Mobile Wallets. It's a good listen. You can spend time talking about different ways to leverage mobile specifically to your listener base, reduce your churn rate, and get your ROI up.
Yeah, that is definitely, I just checked. It's episode 10, Marketing Podcasts with Mobile Wallets. It was one of the earlier episodes that we did. It's available on our website, which is dominoresearch.com. It's also available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, all the varieties. So let's take a few minutes and talk about the different ways that people actually market their podcasts.
Well, yeah, there are different ways. The basics, you can use search, Google, Bing, whatever you want to use, to find the podcast. There's social media out there. If you don't have a profile page for your podcast, you should get one done immediately. And there's referrals, of course, word of mouth. That's always a great way to get listenership up with your podcast.
Absolutely. And you know, that's one of the brilliant things, not to toot our own horn, but to toot our own horn, that our podcast marketer product allows you the simplest, easiest ways for people to share your content on any medium that you are delivering it. So if you have a Stitcher link or a TuneIn link or an iTunes link, and you have all of those in one place on the back of your podcast marketer pass, when somebody shares your pass with their friend, their coworker, their relative, their neighbor, whoever, they automatically get links to all of your distribution mechanisms because they're already self-contained on the back of the pass. So going from there to the actual nuts and bolts of how much can, should, do people spend marketing their podcasts?
Right. I mean, we get that question all the time. How long do you spend marketing your podcast per week? Well, we do a lot of different types of marketing out there. Podcast is just one of them. And I really couldn't say. Could you, Kim?
We do a lot of outreach for our podcast, and we have it plastered all over everything we have. It's all over our webpage. We actually include on not just our podcasting site, but we also include it on our platform sites. We include it on a lot of our landing pages. We have direct links to download the mobile ads and add them into your phone directly from all these different places. Mm-hmm. And while they don't all necessarily generate a million ads to the phone in and of themselves, if we get 15 or 20 a day from this page and 25 or 30 a day from that page and some referrals and some additions from our social media pages or from some of our existing search ads, it starts to add up. And really, unless you're going to spend big business sorts of money, I mean, if you want to become the number one podcast in the business category on iTunes, you're going to have to spend heavily on Facebook, AdWords, emailing everybody you know on your list. You're going to beat the bushes with all of your prospects, your customers, your fans. Just to kick that off, you're looking at a week of super, super intense work just to get this started. And that's before you even try to stay on top. You know, once you're on top, you're going to keep on spending because in a category like business, you're going to be up against the heavyweights from the NPR networks or a Dave Ramsey or Jim Cramer, you know, people who have existing on-air radio shows who also do copies of radio shows onto their podcast networks. So that brings us up to the realistic goal for your podcast.
That's right. I mean, that's the first thing you really need to figure out. If you want to break the top 25 in your category and stay there, which is probably a decent goal for almost anyone, then you really need to lay out the strategy for buying traffic and decide what kind of budget you're going to allocate.
Absolutely. Let's use the New York Times as an example.
Okay.
The New York Times launched a popular podcast in, I think it was January of this year, and it's called Modern Love.
Yes.
It is a conversion of a written product that they have on their website and have had for quite some time, and they've converted it into the audio format with the podcast. They do a ton of marketing for it. They're using Mobile Wallet Passes, which is just like our podcast marketer product, to manage their mobile updates for new episodes. They're on iTunes, they're on Stitcher, they have some very famous top talent narrating episodes each week. And, you know, we like them, so we see what they're doing in their Facebook feeds. For instance, they had carousel ads running in the news feed a couple of weeks ago. They have single episode ads. I'm going to guess that they're spending well north of $1,000 a week just on Facebook advertising. And that's just for society and culture. They're not even trying to crack like business or sports. Their topic isn't super specific. So from that perspective, you know, they're probably spending, I'm going to say, six figures a year on marketing.
Yes. So now, do you have that budget? You need to ask yourself that. So how realistic is and popular is your podcast going to be?
Yeah. You know, as a matter of fact, the whole thing with the New York Times, they're doing the same thing that a lot of other people are doing, because as you well know, you being Hazel,
yes,
maybe you guys listening too, podcasts have seen such a huge resurgence. It's like for business marketing, it's the new webinar. For non-business marketing, where somebody's doing a podcast and selling advertising on it, it's huge. I mean, it's like a huge, huge thing with a vastly growing listener base.
Yeah, I know that Forbes and CBS are both introducing podcast networks to their lineup.
They have. I know. It's like it's almost de rigueur if you're a media brand to have some sort of a podcast production stable. You look at Scripps Media bought Stitcher. They own Midroll Media. They're all in on podcasts. So this is really, when we talk about this sort of a setup, this is for people or companies who are in the business of producing a podcast. Now, the other alternative for producing a podcast, the other rational reason besides for your own enjoyment or to make your friends laugh when they listen to it, is as a marketing tool, which is what we do. It's what we're doing right now. Our product is mobilewalletmarketer.com for the mainstream and cannabiswallet.net for the cannabis industry. We do these podcasts every other week as a way of teaching, educating, and informing our customer base or our prospective customer base how to use our platform to get the best results. And as a marketing tool, you know, there are other people, Ryan Dice, Todd Brown, Amy Porterfield, Michael Hyatt, Pat Flynn, all of these people have popular podcasts and they leverage them very heavily to build their target audience. And some of them are newer podcasts, you know, Todd Brown, he's fairly new to it. I wouldn't say that Ryan Dice has been doing it forever.
We've just been doing it for
A few months, yeah. Yeah, Porterfield and Hyatt, long time, really working on their stuff. But they all work the same way.
That's right. And that's their podcast, it's content. It doesn't mean that they're going to directly get a sale off the podcast. But it's when you look at what you spend to get it out there, you need to take more of a long tail approach. So we're going to talk about that in another episode that we will launch in a few weeks of how, of how to set up long tail on your podcast strategy and how it fits into the rest of your marketing plan.
Absolutely, because the podcast, if you're using it as a marketing tool, should be one more piece in your arsenal, for lack of a better word. And, you know, if you're running a mailing list, if you're doing a lot of social media outreach, if you're running AdWords campaigns, everything that you're doing to bring in more prospects into your funnel or more users, more listeners, more prospective referrers, et cetera, all of this comes back to getting distribution for your podcast, just like you would a blog post or a social media post or anything else that you do as a marketing tool. So yes, we are going to run another episode here in a few weeks, and we will go into some more specifics about that. I would say on the short end of the budget, you could potentially, well, okay, let me break it down real quick.
Sure.
Our platform, if you want to run a single podcast update, single podcast marketer update, $39 a month. So let's just call that $39, whatever you have.
And what does that get you?
That gets you one update per week, or you could do two updates every other. It's four updates a month.
Yes.
You get to completely change the backside anytime that you need to with your updates, so on and so forth. You've got that. You've got your Facebook. You could probably get by on $50 a week in Facebook advertising, maybe.
Maybe.
It would get you some listens. It would get you an increase. AdWords, you could probably get by on $50 a week in AdWords, maybe, if you know AdWords well enough to target.
For it to be effective.
Yeah, to target and make it effective. You know, referrals, that's the big one. Getting other people to refer so that you get more shares, more listeners, more downloads, and more subscribes. So you're probably looking at between $150 and $200 a week as a minimal budget to see real results out of your podcast. And I'm talking like, you know, double-digit increases week after week after week. You could maybe on a shoestring do it on $25 a week. What do you
think? That's real shoestring.
It is a real shoestring, but it could be done. You know what? We should actually sit down and do like a podcast about podcast marketing on a shoestring budget. That would be a great topic.
That would be great. And then we'll try it out and see what works and get back to you.
Oh, yeah. We should start another podcast where we do the $20 a week budget just to see what happens. Yeah. Okay. So I think that is probably it for this week. You got anything else?
No, that's great. Thanks a lot for listening.
Thanks for joining us. Absolutely. And we'll talk to you later.